hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The countdown continues for the Rio Olympics in Brazil. We're now 31 days away to the opening ceremony at the Maracanã Stadium in Rio de Janeiro. Joining us now from Rio with an update on the city's Olympic preparations is our friend Luis Piazet. Sporty Olympic greetings, Luis.
Paralympic greetings, Sonny.
This is a voice speaking from America. Daily at this time, we shall speak to you about America and the war. The news may be good or bad. We shall tell you the truth.
That's from one of the earliest broadcasts of Voice of America. According to its website, it reaches a weekly audience of 134 million people in 40...
This is a belated 4th of July tribute from Rio to all Americans. And speaking about good and bad news on the preparation of the Olympics, only 4 weeks to go and the games will finally begin. If this is true, we will see at the very last minute, due to the Brazilian way, according to the Carioca Sidney Levy, a businessman hired to manage the $10 billion plus profitable project. And that's what it is, the Olympics. Levy said very comfortably in an interview with Carol Castillo on VOA News last week that Brazilians are used to leave things for the last minutes.
Well, Brazil's not England, or, you know, people take decisions, even really last-minute decisions. That's tradition in Brazil.
A couple of days ago, avoiding last-minute major events, the IOC, International Olympic Committee, decided that Brazilians' top internal affairs should be anticipated to end before the Olympics, or postponed to after the Games. Thomas Bach has sent a letter to the interim president, who arranged with the Senate to attend the IOC demand, and decided to postpone the decision on the impeachment of the suspended president for September, despite the bad news we have been reporting the last months. Luckily, we found some good news along the way, and we can say that they came from the very sport side of it, from athletes. Perhaps the most impressive one is the first time a team of refugees will play in the Olympics with no nation flag. A few days ago, we had a double-sided news, a good and bad one. The submarine missile phenomenal Michael Phelps has ended his 18 months probation for drunken driving. The 18-time gold medalist pleaded guilty in 2014 to driving under the influence. Very good. And a week later, he qualified for his 5th Olympics. Bad news for all the other swimmers, because he wants to end his career in Rio winning a gold one more time. We checked on foot some of the Olympic sites in front of the building and already being fenced on large areas normally freely accessed by the general public, including portions of the beach, marina and parks. We even heard a shout, "Excuse me, sir, you are not allowed to pass through." On Monday, the first squad of special forces was already on duty in strategic places of the city. This weekend past, it was released the Guide for Spectators, a comprehensive guide for each category of sport, including the opening and closing ceremonies. There are 4 areas of the city and 36 categories of sports to look for, each one starting from didactic information on, for instance, the rules of peteca, or badminton competition. Then you learn where to go, when, how to get there, and what to expect. All detailed and nicely printed, as well as published online at rio2016.com. you are also supplied with golden tips like, before leaving home, don't forget your tickets, or check the weather forecast and dress up accordingly. Use public transportation. There are no parking spaces near the Olympic venues. Attention, walking times are estimated based on the average speed of 1.2 meters per second, and so on. The golden tips include one that contradicts Mr. Sidney Levy. It says, arrive early. The venue opens 1.5 hour before the competition gets under the way. I am Luis Piazzi for the Sony Side of Sports in Rio de Janeiro.
Thanks, Luis. Luis mentioned use public transportation as one of the golden tips for Olympic fans in Rio. On Monday, the city's mayor, Eduardo Paes, officially inaugurated the Trans-Olympica Road and Bus Transit Line. It includes a tunnel, part of the 26-kilometer Trans-Olympica Highway that connects the Olympic Village in the city's western zone to the Deodoro Olympic Park, one of four venue sites in the neighborhood of the same name. The corridor has an exclusive lane for Rio's new bus rapid transit line, and it's expected to be used by 70,000 passengers and motorists each day. Mayor Paes says the public transportation project is an Olympic legacy that will benefit the communities around it well after the Games end on August 21st. From Rio, let's go to Nairobi, where Kenya recently held its Olympic track and field trials. And we'll hear now from three Kenyan athletes who booked tickets to Rio 2016. The 2008 Olympic champion, Asbel Kiprop, punched his ticket in the men's 1500 meters event.
I believe in their hard work. I believe in training, and also when God is on our side and gives us the favors, then I must win.
In addition to winning that gold medal at the 2008 Beijing Games, Asbel Kiprop has won three consecutive world titles at 1500 meters in 2011 in Daegu, South Korea, in 2013 in Moscow, Russia, and in 2015 in Beijing, China. Meanwhile, 20-year-old Margaret Wambui qualified for Kenya's Olympic team in two events, the women's 400 meters and the women's 800 meters.
Yeah, everybody is bitter because up to now, I become aggressive to beat the UNISOM. The same I'll do.
Also on Kenya's Olympic team is Helen Obiri, who will compete in the women's 5,000 meters event.
So I come back, I said only I want to Olympics, I don't want any race. I only want only to do 5,000 because I don't have a speed for 15 since I'm coming from maternity leave.
We just heard Helen Obiri say she's come back from maternity leave. In fact, the 26-year-old athlete took a 2-year maternity leave break. Helen reached the final of the women's 1500 meters final at the last Olympics in London in 2012, but she finished a disappointing 12th. It'll be interesting to see how Helen Obiri does at the 5,000-meter distance in Rio de Janeiro. Overall, the Kenyans won a total of 11 medals at the 2012 London Olympics, 2 gold, 4 silver, and 5 bronze. Kenya, yaleo, Kenya, yaleo, usipoka sana, takufa masikini. Kenya, yaleo, haipendi umivu, usipoka sana, takufa masikini. Kenya, yaleo, Kenya, yaleo, usipoka sana, takufa masikini.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Tennis news now on the Voice of America. And joining us now with an update on the Wimbledon tournament is Sunny Side of Sports reporter Jonah Haskell. Sporty greetings, Jonah.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The field for the men's quarterfinals are set at the All England Club in London after the final fourth round match was played earlier on Tuesday. World number 10 Tomáš Berdych dispatched his Czech countryman Jiří Veselý in a hard-fought five-set match, 4-6, 6-3, 7-6, 6-7, 6-3. Yesterday featured seven men's matches from the fourth round. Seven-time Wimbledon champion Roger Federer beat the unseeded American Steve Johnson in straight sets, while two-seed and hometown boy Andy Murray defeated Nick Kyrgios 7-5, 6-1, 6-4 to secure advancement. American Sam Querrey, who defeated world number one Novak Djokovic in the third round, was victorious again as he beat Frenchman Nicolas Mahut in straight sets 6-4, 7-6, 6-4. Meanwhile, Canadian 6-seed Milos Raonic came back from two sets down to defeat 11-seed David Goffin, and 32-seed Lucas Pouille upset 19-seed Bernard Tomic in a tight five-set match. Two other matches were started but weren't finished after players pulled out of both of them with injuries. 9-seed Marin Cilic advanced after 5-seed Kei Nishikori retired in the second set with a rib injury, while 7-seed Richard Gasquet had to stop play during the first set against Joe Wilfried Tsonga because of a back problem. The men's quarterfinals begin on Wednesday as Querrey takes on Raonic, Berdych faces Pouille, Tsonga plays Murray, and Cilic will come up against Roger Federer, who is playing in his record 14th quarterfinal at Wimbledon, and Federer is looking forward to a challenge.
I'm happy about my game as well, that I've been able to rise now to the occasion and play a really good match against Johnson today. I think it was by far my best match, and so I'm confident also going to the Cilic match. But I think it's a tough one. He likes grass. He's won Queens before, I think, and he's done well here. So I'm looking forward to a tough one there.
It should be a good watch to match. Or to watch. Over on the women's side, all four quarterfinal matches are on the schedule for Tuesday, after the fourth round wrapped up on Monday. German 4-seed Angelique Kerber defeated 5-seed Simona Halep of Romania in straight sets to advance to her second Wimbledon semifinal, while Venus Williams, the 8-seed, beat Yaroslava Shvedova of Russia to get one step closer to her sixth Wimbledon championship. Also today, Russian 19-seed Dominika Cibulkova will face her unseeded countrywoman Elena Vesnina, and Venus's younger sister and 1-seed Serena will take on Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova. Serena, who has had a couple of tough matches this tournament, is staying focused.
I really didn't feel like it clicked, you know, in several matches, and then this year's, I felt like it clicked, and it didn't. So, you know, now I'm just honestly just going, just trying to win each match that I play and focused on just that opponent.
If both of them keep playing well, then Serena's opponent in the final may end up being her sister Venus. But that's not the only time they may appear on the court together at Wimbledon. The Williams sisters are also playing together in the women's doubles tournament and have been playing well as they've reached the third round. That third round match will take place on Tuesday against a pair of Czech players, Andrea Hulavačková and Lucy Hradecka. Monday's fourth round featured a couple of upsets as Cibulkova, the 19th seed, beat number 3 seed Agnieszka Radwanska 3-6, 7-5, 7-5, and Shvedova, who is unseeded, beat 28th seed Lucy Safarova in straight sets 6-2, 6-4. The women's semifinals will be on Thursday, with the final being played on Saturday. I'm Jonah Haskell. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Jonah. And Jonah, what do you think the chances are of us seeing an all-Williams final on Saturday?
I think the chances are pretty good. I think Serena will definitely be there. We'll see if Venus can get through her semifinal match. She's going to be playing one of those Russian girls who are good. But Venus has been playing well, and we'll see if she can get through.
Yeah, I think the grass really helps Venus's game there at Wimbledon.
Yeah, she's a five-time Wimbledon champ, so she's definitely likes the surface, likes playing there.
What about on the men's side, Jonah? With Djokovic out, does that help the chances of Roger Federer maybe lifting that trophy once again?
It definitely does. lift the chances of Federer winning, but I think really the person who was most excited is Andy Murray. I think when Djokovic lost, Andy Murray was doing backflips because, you know, Wimbledon, it's his hometown tournament. He loves playing there, but he just can't beat Djokovic. So we'll see if he's able to beat Federer because that's also going to be a tough match, but he is the higher seed, and I'd say Murray's the favorite to win now, but Federer's probably also pretty happy about it as well.
And I agree. I think Murray has to have the crowd support on his side at Wimbledon.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, Jonah. Sunny Side of Sports contributor Tadi Abeje has some fun facts about Luol Deng, who was one of the big-name National Basketball Association free agents. Deng has signed with the Los Angeles Lakers. His four-year contract is worth $72 million. Luol Deng is from South Sudan. He previously played for the Chicago Bulls, where he was a two-time All-Star, as well as the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Miami Heat. The veteran forward will join a Lakers team that's filled with young players like D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle, Brandon Ingram, and Jordan Clarkson. Now, the Lakers could use some veteran leadership following Kobe Bryant's retirement this past season. The Lakers also signed the big Russian, Timofey Mozgov, to a four-year, $64 million contract, and they re-signed Jordan Clarkson to a four-year, $50 million contract. Lots of big contracts being signed during the NBA free agent period. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Tuesday?
So last week we talked about the big feel-good story at Wimbledon, which was Marcus Willis. Of course, he qualified for the tournament, had to play the qualified matches, went through and got to play Roger Federer on the center court. Well, there's a new feel-good story, and it's kind of a surprising one. It's Venus Williams. Now, people would say, Venus Williams, she's won Wimbledon five times. How is that a feel-good story? Well, at the age of 36, she is back in the semifinals at Wimbledon, in the first semifinals in a Grand Slam in 7 years, which is huge for her. Of course, 5 years ago, Venus Williams diagnosed with Sjogren's syndrome, which is an autoimmune disorder. So for her to battle back, there's a lot of people on the internet who are praising her, cheering her on, hoping that she'll continue this going forward, and just praising her play, saying that she's playing lights out. This is the Venus that we've been waiting for, that we hoped would come back after that diagnosis. And at age 36, it's amazing to see a player playing that well. 36 in, you know, tennis years is like, you know, you're collecting a pension at that point, I think. So this is really remarkable for her, and the internet has just seized on this.
What's your sense, Andrew? Are we heading towards an all-Williams final? And do you think that Serena and Venus like to play each other when the stakes are so high?
Well, those are the whispers that are starting just on social media just now, people seeing it, kind of the light in the distance, saying, okay, maybe we could see Venus and Serena play each other in the final. Of course, they're on different halves of the draw, so Venus would have to win her next semifinal match, and Serena would have to get to the finals as well. But it's starting, that kind of percolating on social media, and saying, maybe, what if, maybe. But I think there's a lot of excitement for that. It would, you know, be huge for tennis. Interestingly, Venus and Serena are on the court playing doubles right now, or about to get on the court to play doubles. So they're playing doubles with each other on the same team. So it's kind of funny that they could potentially be facing off in the finals, but they're playing and looking to get a title as doubles partners as well. So that's not lost on people on social media. They're saying, imagine having to go and play your sister in the finals if that happens. And then you have to go out and say, okay, shake it off. We got to win a doubles title. So that could potentially happen for them. But she is kind of the feel-good story of Wimbledon right now, and there's a lot of people pulling for her.
What about the men's side at Wimbledon, Andrew? What's trending there?
Well, the men kick off their quarterfinal matches tomorrow, so we'll have four matches, and that'll determine who the semifinalists will be. Of course, Roger Federer and Andy Murray were, I'm sure, thrilled when Novak Djokovic was knocked out by Sam Querrey. That's their, you know, their biggest obstacle towards winning a Grand Slam. Something that kind of went viral online that I saw was an image of Judy Murray, who is Andy Murray's mother, And when they flashed the score up on the screen in the stadium when she was watching Andy's match and she saw that Novak Djokovic had lost, this slow smile started to creep across her face. Judy Murray, she's been very active on social media. We talked about after the French Open, she had taken some pictures with Novak Djokovic's mother and said, you know, proud moms. So she's very active on Twitter. But I'm curious to see what will happen with Andy Murray as now being the favorite, if he can live up to that expectation or if the pressure gets to him. And Roger Federer, could he go for an eighth Wimbledon title? That would
incredible.
Be
incredible.
And then not to mention there's a lot of younger guys, Milos Raonic from Canada. Sam Querrey actually plays Milos Raonic, so we'll see if, you know, between those two, one of those guys is going to go to the semifinals. So a lot of great stories on the men's side. And then the doubles as well. You have the Bryant brothers, of course, from the U.S. who are looking to win at Wimbledon, the Williams sisters, as we talked about. So some great storylines as Wimbledon wraps up this week into the weekend.
And you mentioned Sam Querrey, Andrew. The USA really hasn't had an American player go this far in quite a while.
As good as the women have been in tennis, with Venus and Serena, obviously, the marquee names, but then you have names like Madison Keys and Sloane Stephens and Coco Vanderway. These are, you know, up-and-coming American women. The men have kind of been lackluster, unfortunately. They haven't gone as far. So the fact that Sam Querrey has kind of made this foray into the quarterfinal, I think it's the, you know, the first quarterfinal in, you know, maybe 10 years that an American man has gotten to in a major. So this is pretty big for the American men, and big going into the Olympics too, because of course we're not just talking about, you know, the Grand Slam tournaments. It's a golden year with the Olympics going on. So leading into Rio in just a couple weeks, we'll see who might be able to do well there.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. On the Facebook side, we're starting a new segment called Watch on Wednesdays. Watch on Wednesdays, Facebook Live, the Sunny Side of Sports. About 16:45 UTC GMT, you can go to your Facebook page and see Andrew Palcheski, yours truly, and maybe a few other friendly faces live right here in Studio 22. Watch on Wednesdays, Sunny Side of Sports Facebook Live. We're going to do another one on Wednesday, July 6th, about 16:45 UTC GMT. So tune in and view on Facebook. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, we talked about Kevin Durant going to the Golden State Warriors yesterday, and the fallout is continuing on social media. The reactions are coming in, and I'm just looking at some of them now on Twitter. Paul Pierce was actually, we mentioned yesterday, somebody said, if you can't beat him, join him. It was actually Paul Pierce who said that, so go figure. But we've had a day now, and actually we are seeing a lot of the players weighing in, and some of them questioning, saying, really? He's going to go do this? He's going to go play for this big team and leave Oklahoma City kind of in the lurch? So it'll be interesting when the season starts up in a few short months, how Kevin Durant is received when he goes and plays these other players, if there's going to be some trash talking, if there might be some scuffles on the court, or if by that point it will maybe have subsided. Maybe some of those players might have moved around by then as well. You know, certainly the, you know, Steph Curry, I think, is happy that he's going to be joining him. I haven't seen any reaction from him on social media yet, but I imagine it would be positive.
I remember his wife was very active on social media during the NBA Finals, Andrew. Maybe she's checked in on Kevin Durant.
Maybe, but I know that Draymond Green has. You know, we talked about Draymond Green during the finals, and he tweeted out, he said, "Welcome to the family, KDTray5, that's his Kevin Durant's Twitter handle, said, let's just do what we are setting out to do. And he says, #blockoutthenoise. So from his perspective, he's ready to go. It's like, you know, the season can't start soon enough for him, and he's ready to get Kevin Durant on his team, and they're ready to start playing, and then hopefully avenge the loss from this year's final and go and win another championship for Golden State Warriors.
Lots of happy Warriors fans, I guess, right now, Andrew.
Absolutely.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew, and see you on Wednesday.
Sounds good.
And that wraps up the July 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Zimbabwean communities in the Yanga district will be able to construct facilities to dramatically improve their health and sanitation, thanks to assistance from the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, and its Community Water Supply, Sanitation, Hygiene, and Natural Resources Management, also known as CWASH program. In early June, at the Ruronquo District Development Fund Rest Camp, Robert Shawatama, the Provincial Water and Sanitation Subcommittee Chairperson for Manicaland, officially handed over to the people of Nyanga District $40,000 in materials to construct or rehabilitate 83 boreholes, 45 pumps to extract water, 105 drinking troughs for animals, and 102 latrines. Chairperson Shawatama also presided over the graduation of 18 community latrine and water pan builders and 16 village pump mechanics who had been trained by Development Aid from People to People, or DAP Zimbabwe, with funding from USAID. With guidance from the District Development Fund, these builders and mechanics will assist the communities in constructing and repairing their water infrastructure and ensure long-term sustainability. In total, USAID's CWASH activities will provide safe and clean water to 2,400 households and 6 schools in the district. The communities of Nyanga North have long grappled with access to safe and clean water due to frequent breakdowns of boreholes. Some families travel for 10 kilometers to access safe water, while others sleep queuing for water at the boreholes. Many boreholes in the district are being chained and locked as communities try to safeguard limited water resources. Others have introduced strict water rationing, with households only allowed to collect 2 20-liter buckets per day, regardless of the household size. USAID is proud to support Nyanga District to improve access to safe, potable water, said USAID Zimbabwe Acting Mission Director Bruce Abrams. With this newly acquired technical expertise and building materials, these communities are now able to protect themselves against waterborne diseases.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Linor Mudu. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the 18-year prison sentence given to former Congolese Vice President Jean-Pierre Bemba by the International Criminal Court for rape and murder in the Central African Republic. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African music mix plays only the best.
Yes, sir. Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.